Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We made it through the week. It's Friday. Brewers Outlet awaits. That's right, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You're talking about the best in beverages, great snacks, and pewter at the Pickle Bar as we speak. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, which, by the way, I believe Kevin is stopping there for a lottery ticket on the way home, isn't he?
Can't win if you don't play.
Well said. I'm in the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, after playing a round of golf this morning for Coaches versus Cancer. I do have to go back tonight, by the way, to MC the banquet this evening. Only a couple speakers, Patrick Chambers and my good buddy Timmy Doyle from the Big Ten Network will be on. It's one thing about Tim, and we're going to get Tim on the show here within the next couple of weeks. He's the same off the air as he is on the air. There's no difference. And I told him that's one of the things I admire about him. I said, You're real. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf, which, by the way, they are major supporters of the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. The afternoon flight is sold out. Everything's filled. Morning flight's still available with a couple of spots. Boy, I'd like to fill that up because it's for the kids, all right? It's for the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Can't wait to see Bonnie Wasmer and everybody on Wednesday morning. Kevin and I will be out there. Drew Kelly, Mark Mahoney, we're looking forward to playing a round of golf together. A little camaraderie for us. And we'll have a great time, and then we'll do the show live from the Susquehanna Valley Country Club between 3 and 5 on Wednesday. And I rarely have looked for, I enjoyed playing this morning. The Coaches versus Cancer deal this morning was a blast. But rarely have I looked forward to playing in a golf tournament more than I am on Wednesday. And it looks like the weather's going to be great. And it's going to be a lot, it's going to be, I think, a lot of fun. And I can't wait to do the show out on the deck. It sounds like the weather's going to be perfect for it. Hilscher's General Store sponsors our hotline, 800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. They're 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. Don't forget, they're the 21st Century General Store. When you walk in there, you'll see exactly what we're talking about. Go to www.hilscherstore.com.
I'm going to get you some of the flavoring so you can have that in your water bottle while you head around the course next Wednesday.
Great. I love it. I think that's fabulous. A couple quick notes. Walt Moody, Sunday Daily Times, will join us today. And we're also going to have on Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. The first of a 10-part series on how Quaker State and Pennzoil faked out Kevin.
I could give you the story right now. I'm very depressed. I thought I was doing what I thought was right, what I thought was just. And then I found out that they may have owned the oil that I bought anyway. Sad. Maybe I bought just generic oil. Maybe it was Havilland. They don't own Havilland yet, do they?
Look, in the end, it all came out of the ground. All right.
Very true.
Okay.
I was trying to hold up to my principles and, I shouldn't have shared that story because I felt good about myself for the last almost 20 years until now.
You almost killed me on a golf course last week. You had no principles when you were hitting that day. I told that story yesterday.
Oh, great.
I told that story yesterday at a banquet. I did at a luncheon yesterday. I told that story. I said, he's all lined up. I said, the ball whizzes by my ear. I said, the golf cart, I said, it was only parked like 3 or 4 feet up from where the ball was. I said, but the way he lines himself up, and I explained how you go two fairways and bring it back. The ball was by my ear, and on the other, I said, my playing partners went, whoa. Right? And he said, look, I was locked in. I was locked in. I was trying to, you know, concentrate. He says, and that's why I didn't see. I was locked in. I said, well, you're so locked in, your ball's in the water. All right. So.
It hit the tree first. It was going to be right on the green if it wouldn't have hit the tree. You leave that part out of the story, though, don't you?
It was next to the creek. You're in the water.
It wouldn't have been if it wouldn't have hit the tree.
We didn't get your ball now, did we?
No.
Did we get your ball?
No.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
It was in the creek.
It was an overhanging limb. It was bending right in, hit the limb, and deflected right into the water.
You know what I requested for Wednesday?
What?
A gas-powered, oil-powered golf cart.
Okay. I'll open the door. Why?
Because we're going to pour Pennzoil in and go. Watch you walk the whole round because of your principles.
I could walk the whole round. I just wouldn't be worth anything by the third hole. Oh, wait. That's not different than normal.
And your point is what? All right. We have a lot going on today and a lot of fun because it is Friday. We're kicking back. Kevin and I enjoying it today. But first, Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. Like a 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE, call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. A 2011 Ford Fusion 4-door sedan with 4-wheel drive, just $14,992. 2012 Hyundai Veloster 3-door coupe, $16,899. 2010 Ford F-150 Super Crew, $25,999. 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited 4-door Sahara, $26,994. And a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R. Call for the price, 888-536-8017. These deals won't last, so hurry in. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24-7 at sunburymotors.com. At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Love Brewers Outlet. They are our sponsor on Fridays, and it's a perfect day of the week for Brewers Outlet to sponsor coming into the weekend, and it's an Indy Free weekend. So, you hate this, don't you?
Yeah, okay.
Indy Free weekend. Dave in Sunbury in the Hilsers General Store hotline. Dave, welcome back to the show. It's great to hear from you.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm well, thank you.
I went out, got a book about the upcoming football college season, and I went over the non-conference schedules for the Southeastern Conference on account of Nick Saban threw Ohio State and the Big Ten under a bus saying about inferior competition.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote down the non-conference schedule for each of all 14 teams there.
Wow.
If you want me to go through them, or do you want me to call you Monday about it?
No, let's take the upper echelon. Why don't you give me Alabama, LSU. They're not upper echelon based on last year, but I want to hear Auburn's.
Okay.
And I want to hear Florida and South Carolina and Georgia.
Okay. Well, we'll start with, I did it alphabetically order, and it started with the East. So we'll go with Florida.
Florida.
The home game is on the 31st of August against Toledo.
Love it.
September 7th, they go down to Miami Hurricanes.
Oh, that's good.
November 23rd, they play home to Georgia Southern. And then November 30th is the Florida State game.
Okay, so that, I mean, so two out of their four between Miami. Yeah, I mean, between Miami and now Florida State, they play every year anyway.
Yeah. Georgia, they travel August 31st to Clemson.
All right, that's good.
Good. September 21st, North Texas shows up.
Yes.
Okay. November 9th, Appalachian State wanders in.
And they've got Georgia Tech at the end.
Yeah. Now, you said who was?
I say, now let's go South Carolina. Let's go the old ball coach.
Okay. The old ball coach. They start out with a home game against North Carolina on August 29th, which is a Thursday.
Right. Right. That's the opening game of the whole season.
Then September 28th, they go to University of Central Florida.
Right. That's same as Penn State.
Yeah. November 23rd, Coastal Carolina comes in.
Love them. Love the Chanticleers.
And Clemson on November 30th is the home game.
Okay. So, I mean, that's not bad. That's not bad.
But, well, I'm saving Alabama for last on account of what Nick Saban said.
Right, okay.
Okay. But now you on LSU and Alabama, right, basically?
Also Auburn and Florida. Also Auburn.
Auburn and
Florida. Auburn and Georgia. And Auburn, Alabama,
okay.
LSU.
Well, I'm looking at Auburn right now. August 31st, Washington State comes in. September 7th, Arkansas State comes in. October 12th, Western Carolina comes in. And then October 26th, Florida Atlantic visits. The LSU schedule, August 31st, they play host to TCU.
Yeah, they're normally good, and TCU's a heck of a game.
Yeah. September 7th, home game against the University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Love the Blazers.
September 14th, Kent State.
Yep.
October 26th, Furman.
All right, that's actually disappointing. All right.
Okay. Now, Texas A&M? Or do you want me to go with a...
Let's go Alabama.
Which one you want?
Alabama.
Okay. Well, I called because he was ripping on Ohio State and the Big Ten about their conference schedule and their non-conference. Well... August 31st, Virginia Tech. It's a home game. September 21st, the home game against Colorado State. October 5th, the 125th ranked team in the country, Georgia State.
Love Georgia State. Big fan.
And now here's another one. Not even in Division I. University of Chattanooga on November 21st.
Well, and they are not the choo-choos, by the way.
Look, the moccasins are a team to be reckoned with.
Well, it's him blame based on he called in, left a blog on his webpage about, you know, Ohio State with the 12-0 record last year. Well, he lost the own game in his own side of last year with Texas A&M. So him to say something like that, to be truthfully honest, it's a left-handed jab at Ohio State because they're probably going to meet in a big game at the end of the year, the way it looks.
Well, the interesting thing, though, is based on numbers, if Ohio State were eligible, Ohio State would have been the team in the national championship game against Notre Dame and not Alabama.
Right. But that's the only reason I told you I had a little bit of a rant. But for him to say that kind of stuff, that's just stirring up the pot.
Sure, it stirs up the pot. It was 13-1 in favor of 9 games in the SEC. They're going to stick at 8. He was the one vote that voted for 9.
Yeah,
they're going to.
That.
You know, look, and the coach. Look, the coach's vote doesn't mean anything. It means zilch.
It's
the athletic directors that have to vote on that.
Oh, the athletic director. I thought it was university presidents.
Yeah, no, the athletic directors make that final vote there.
Okay, well. Oh, and in partying, you know, leaving, I thought of a fifth sum for you, for the November 21st, I mean, that's June 21st game, golf deal.
Well, right.
Out there, up there in Bloomsburg, is you, Jack Ham, Dick Hort, and the Chief.
Yeah.
And the guy on the back would be Kevin Herr.
I'll just drive everybody around.
Whee! Maxwell.
I'll just drive them around.
You ought to see him drive a golf cart, man.
Okay.
I mean, you want to talk about
You don't even want to go there. You don't even want to go there, Jones.
Unbelievable. Dave, thank you. Great call. You're unreal.
Oh, there's a story there for later.
What? Going down the hill in the opening hole? Excuse me, who saved the cart?
I was just looking for the out.
I was looking to get rid of you. I was so close.
Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brewers Outlet, where I'll need to stop before I play with golf with Kevin on Wednesday.
You'll be fine.
Maybe I'll... Well, that's because Brewer's Outlet will dull the pain.
You won't be in any pain. Because you've learned your lesson. Don't stand in front of a guy swinging the club. Even if you think you're far enough to the left.
No, I haven't learned my lesson. I'm still playing golf with you on Wednesday. All right, Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, is the beverage supermarket. Beverages, snacks, pickle bar. You're mad right now.
No, I'm laughing, actually. Because you were able to sneak one more in. But I listen, I'm still not done with the golf cart thing.
But we came down the hill. I was going too fast. It was raining.
Yeah.
We started the skid. I sensed it was a problem. If I had kept going, we would have had a problem. So I took it, steered it gently to the right, took it down the hill, away from everybody else, and into a flat area. I think I just described the entire incident perfectly.
Well, you make it sound so, you know, normal. It was a little more nerve-wracking than that on my side, who had no control over the golf cart, and the golf cart starts to lean my way. Now, I realize that I've already tipped the scales literally on the golf cart, naturally, but I'm looking for an out, and all I see are forward rolls is my best way out.
No, I made a mistake in the first 10 to 15 feet of misjudging the hill and also how slick the pavement was because it was raining at the time. After that, I don't think I could have handled it any better.
I did comment, if you remember, when we got in there and everything settled down and I felt safe again, I did comment that that is some of the best driving by a non-racing fan I have ever seen.
Okay. But I was very calm about it. It was 10 to 15 feet. I thought, oh, man, I made a mistake. I knew right away I made a mistake. So the key was to correct it, and I did.
So when you're talking about how I almost hit you, your incident of death actually came first. I want that clearly stated.
We weren't there. No, I said I made a mistake, and I was wrong, and then I corrected it. You have steadfastly told the world that you were absolutely right, and that you were locked in and you plopped it into the river.
I did not plop it. It was a small creek, okay? It was a small... I don't even know if it was the creek. It might have actually been the pond. It was water. I know that.
That's even worse. It's a small creek. A river at least makes it sound like you're aiming for something big.
Well, I just set you right up one time after another, don't I?
It's sad.
I'm your Ed.
Although the group I played with today, this morning in Coaches versus Cancer, our group ended up going 11 under par today. And I explained to them the Pennzoil incident.
Great.
They're a group of bankers.
Uh-huh.
Your odds of a loan died.
Greatly, greatly lower than they were yesterday.
Greatly lower. Right now you're below the Mendoza line in their minds. They think you're an awful risk. one bad payment, they think you'll crack.
Well, you didn't have any issues on the course today. I mean, you said you were playing earlier today, and you didn't have any issues today, did you?
No, there were no issues. It was really a round of nirvana.
See, now, isn't that a boring way to play golf? I mean, without any issues, what do you have to talk about?
We laughed, had a great time.
And you do realize that don't expect 11 under on Wednesday. You do understand that, right?
I don't know. I thought Drew Kelly hit the ball very well. I thought Mahone hit the ball well, and I know I can hit the ball better.
Well, unless you and Mahoney putt like unbelievably.
And Drew Kelly, by the way, is willing to come on the show and tell the truth about, quote, the incident.
That's tainted.
It's not tainted. It's not like I've been in constant. Well, of course he does, because he sides with truth, justice, and the American way.
No, brother.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, here to join us. I believe the Penguins have been off since Easter. They play the Bruins. Boy, the NHL luckout. The last four Stanley Cup winners, Tony, all in the final four. I mean, the NHL has to be thrilled.
Yeah, I think that's precisely on point, no question. These are probably the best four teams in the NHL. And you know the way it transpired with the Blackhawks and the Red Wings playing that last Game 7, there was a day there where the past five Stanley Cup winners were all still playing hockey. So no question things worked out as good as they possibly could have for the league and for the fans, because I think there's some great hockey in both the Eastern and the Western conferences lying ahead here. And I'm not sure why the West had to start before the East when both Boston and the Penguins had all that time off, but it is what it is, and we're about ready to lace the skates on and get at it. So it should be exciting.
You're not sure why? Come on. I give you two letters, T-V.
No question.
In the end, that's what it's all about. Now, let's get to the part about the Penguins, Tony. During the layoff, there's a certain point where a layoff's good, and there's a certain point where a layoff sometimes is too long. How did Dan Bylsma decide to handle it?
He gave these guys a lot of time off, a lot of time to rest and recuperate. I don't know if he would have handled it the same had there been a full season. You know, and with the compact season, these guys were playing almost every other day. They only had more than 2 days off one time, and that was pretty late in the season. And the other side of it is, it was a very similar situation for Boston as well. They only played one day later than the Penguins. So, it's not like one team was dealing with it and the other team wasn't. Almost to a man, Steve, the players seemed to enjoy the rest. They're ready for a very physical series against Boston. And this is an old roster. After the trades, the Penguins actually had the oldest average age in the NHL. You look at guys like Jerome Iginla and, Brendan Morrow, not to mention Tomas Vokoun, who hasn't played this much hockey consecutively in years. I think these guys are excited for the rest. And like I said, Bylsma gave them full days off several times. When they did practice, they had long, intense practices. And I think he, used it pretty well that way, trying to get the most out of practice when they did go to the rink.
Let's get to the Vokoun factor. What's been the feeling about his level of play? I know he's been winning. There's a difference between winning and level of play. Have they felt like it's been acceptable enough, or do they really think that he has played Stanley Cup level goal?
You know, I think Stanley Cup level goal for the Penguins, with the way this team scores, is a little bit different than Stanley Cup level goal for a team like the LA Kings,
right?
Who need to have a guy like Jonathan Quick in net. The Penguins probably don't need that. I think they feel like his play has been absolutely acceptable, and at times, he has shined. So I think it's sort of wavering somewhere in between there. The thing they like about Vokoun right now is that they're not depending on a guy who has been a career backup. It isn't like he came out of the blue. The guy has started. He's played all-star level hockey at times throughout his career. And I think he's looking at it like this is his time, and he's going to put the pedal to the metal. He's got a good team in front of him, and you never know when you're going to get this chance again. For a long time, Steve, I think people were waiting for Marc-Andre Fleury to get his chance again. I think the way the fans are viewing this is that time has come and gone, and this is now Tomas Vokoun's team.
And he's played that way. I mean, he has earned his spot. But the Penguins have played, when they have played well in front of him and have made a conscious effort to, give us an idea, Tony, the difference that has made.
Well, there's no question. I think that's how everything started. I think the team felt badly that, you know, I think they felt like they got Marc-Andre Fleury benched. There's some truth to that. Marc-Andre Fleury also didn't hold up his end either. But, you know, the team, as soon as Tomas Mokoun came in, the team began to clean up their end a lot better, especially right in front of the net. There was a lot of bad goals because the Penguins didn't clear the front of the net. And I think that was probably the biggest thing. And they didn't, you know, they didn't make Tomas Mokoun deal with that. Early on in games, he gave up some big fat rebounds, and the Penguins were right there in front to clear those away. Or if not clearing the puck away, they were clearing the opponent away. And I think as time's gone on, he has settled the team down a little bit. A lot of players will tell you that it doesn't matter to them who's in net. I spoke with Jim Pack, former Penguins defenseman, now an AHL coach, not that long ago, and he said that's nonsense. You know, those guys are just being good teammates. It absolutely matters in net, and Tomas Mokoun has calmed this team down, and they feel like they can win with him, whereas they were, you know, they wouldn't say it, but that was probably a question, at least in the backs of their minds, when Fleury was in net.
You also have a veteran team. Guys, you mentioned Morrow, for example, at Ginla, haven't won it, or, you know, or it's been a long time since they have. There's a hunger. Mokoun hasn't won it. When you've been in that locker room, how has that hunger translated from those veteran players?
You know, the thing that struck me the most was at the end of the season, the last, you know, week or two of the season, when Sidney Crosby wasn't healthy until the playoffs, but Chris Letang, Evgeny Malkin, a lot of these guys were beginning to return from injury, Paul Martin. And you had the veterans in there as well, the guys that they had just traded for, the guys we just talked about, the Aginlas and the Morrows. And there was really no mistake about it. It was a plain-spoken goal to win the Stanley Cup. It wasn't like we'll get to the playoffs and take it one step at a time. Obviously, that's how a veteran team is going to approach it. But this team talked very openly about winning the Stanley Cup. And, you know, I think it's a nice blend of the hunger of the guys who haven't won it and almost a desperation from guys like Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin, guys who want it but have underachieved in the playoffs the past three seasons. Those guys are desperate to prove that they are, you know, long-term champions and they can be kind of the foundation of a dynasty for as much as you can have a dynasty in today's salary cap league. So I think those two things combine to really make it a pretty unique time right now for the Penguins, where the fans expect it, the media expects it, but no one expects it more than the team itself.
What is the matchup with the Bruins like?
I think it's going to be great. I think it's a physical series that we're going to see in front of us. By no means do I think the Penguins are going to roll through this series like they did against Ottawa. I think that certainly the Penguins would be a favorite. I wouldn't even call them a heavy favorite because the Bruins are very, very good. The Bruins can score. You know, their game is based on playing physical, but they've got three lines of guys who can score. They haven't showed it all the time in the playoffs right now, and there's some guys I'm sure that the, you know, Bruins want to get going a little bit more, guys like Tyler Seguin. But this is a team that can score. They've got talent, but they're big and they're very, very physical, and they're going to test the Penguins, no question. They're going to come at guys, first of all, obviously like Sidney Crosby, but keep an eye on what they do with guys like Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin and Matt Cook, guys who are prone to take bad penalties, to take retaliation-type penalties. Those guys will be tested probably very, very early. And the other thing about the Bruins, they're not going to go into this thing wide-eyed. They're going to go into this thing expecting to win. So I think that's going to be very, very interesting, and I think we're going to see a classic. You know, everything that Chicago and Detroit was, that could translate into what this series is with Boston and Pittsburgh.
But the Bruins have also made some changes along the way. The Bruins have made some changes along the way, and when they have made those changes, it's been actually on defense. They've called up some guys from Providence that have made a difference. And so it is a slightly different team. I mean, a guy like Chara, Marchand, the guys you expect, but you know, the changes they've made actually have helped them.
Yeah, no question. They've become a better, deeper defensive team, and you're right. That probably is the biggest change. They wanted to add Jerome Iginla. That, you know, as we know, didn't happen. Instead, he went to the Penguins. They did add Jaromir Jagr, and he has helped them as well. But you're right, some young defensemen. Tony Krug has been a guy who has been a big-time goal scorer for them in the playoffs, an offensive guy who they signed last year and expected him to contribute. It took a little bit longer than everybody thought. In fact, I think some fans were probably starting to write him off. And then he came up and really was a huge boon, and especially in the playoffs, his game really turned on. He's got a fantastic slap shot, and he's one of the top scoring defensemen in the playoffs so far this year. So he's a guy to keep an eye on. And Matt Barkowski, a guy that is from Pittsburgh, an Upper St. Clair guy, was almost traded for Jerome Iginla. He has played very, very well for them. So those two guys have been, I think it's fair to say, without them, they don't win the opening series this year against Toronto.
Pirates are 14 games over 500. I know there's still a couple concerns about the offense, and I know my biggest concern is that their starters are 24th in the majors in innings pitched. Still just caution in that neck of the woods, or some excitement building?
There's definitely some excitement building. The last couple of games were just so exciting. I mean, one 11-1-0 win on the road, one of them at home. They would take two from the Tigers at home, 3 out of 4 overall. So no question there's excitement building. I think that there certainly is some caution, but the fans are definitely enjoying this right now. Your concern is dead on bullseye, Steve. I mean, the starters are pitching well, but the only guy who's pitching deep is A.J. Burnett, and, he's only getting into the sixth or seventh inning. So that bullpen is going to take a beating. There is some hope that some guys like Charlie Morton or James McDonald, when they come back, won't step into the rotation, but can step into a spot starter or long relief role and take some of the heat off of the bullpen a little bit. And then, of course, there's also some people hoping that Garrett Cole comes up from AAA and maybe one of these starters does move back into the bullpen as well. But that, to me, I think you're right. That's probably the biggest issue. That's the thing that can cause a collapse right away is if the bullpen falters, and they're getting taxed heavily right now. They're passing their tests. No question about that. Yeah. They've been lights out, but that's very hard to continue and unlikely to continue if the starters keep leaving after 5 or 6.
And I just feel like they're using up a lot of collateral right now that they're going to need in August.
So, I agree with that. There's no question. Again, I think everyone's extremely excited. 14 over before June is a pretty impressive feat to accomplish. Again, they're going to need some depth, no question, whether it's at the back end of the rotation or whether it's in the bullpen or whether it's something as simple as the starters pitching into the seventh and eighth innings.
Tony, always an absolute pleasure. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, Steve. Always enjoy it.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Play golf with him anytime. Great guy. Etiquette. Gets it. You all right?
I heard you.
Wow.
Not saying anything.
I guess there's nothing to say. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. We will be at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament and do the show there on Wednesday. Show will be, as always, from 3 to 5. We'll be out on the patio at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We invite you to be there with us because I think it's going to be a great couple of spots available in the morning flight. Afternoon flight's completely booked, and they have, I think, at least 10 more foursomes than they did last year. At least 10 more, which is wonderful because it benefits the kids. The Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We are about giving back. And we want to make sure that you give back with us. And playing golf is a fun way to give back. And we're looking forward to that. Our good friends at Sunbury Motors, who are such an important sponsor for us here. They sponsor this beautiful studio I'm in, which Kevin's never seen. That will be... they'll be out there in the afternoon flight. Tom and the gang will be out there. And Sunbury Motors, of course, 4th Street in Sunbury. And also, Sunbury Motors Kia, really right across the street from the Susquehanna Valley Country Club on Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I know before I'm done that day, I'm going to make a stop at Hilscher's General Store. Stop in the store. I'm going to do that. I want to see the 21st Century General Store. 7 miles south of Santa. Stop at Snacks. All that and much more as we... celebrate the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament taking place at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club on Wednesday. We'll be there for the morning flight. I believe we go at, 7:30?
Yeah, I think it's 7:30.
Okay, yeah. There's a moment in that answer. You sound prepared.
Well, I knew about a month. You know, I knew it last time about a month ago. I can't remember. I think it's 7:30. I'm just, yeah.
Well, I'm gonna try and get out. I'm gonna try to get out of here. 6 o'clock. Hit the driving range a little bit. And...
Well, what time did you leave last time? And you talk about me.
I want to say I left about 6:15.
Well, there you go. You were about the right time then.
Yeah. Of course, it's great at that.
True.
Yeah, maybe a couple of horse and buggies, but that's about it. It's all good. So I am I'm looking forward to that very, very much. I mean, I've had people talk to me and they said, boy, you've really mentioned it a lot. There's a reason why I mentioned it a lot, because I want to have a great time Wednesday. And with Drew and Mahone, I mean, we will. You okay?
I'm wonderful.
The trustee.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
Sorry, go ahead. I interrupted.
Do you have a Little League game that morning?
No.
Because, I had a fourth. Ohio State University's top trustees say insensitive comments by University President E. Gordon Gee have embarrassed and divided the university. Divided the university in what way? How can you be divided in what he said?
I was wondering that, too. I read the same exact thing earlier today.
Divided? The trustees say in a letter to President E. Gordon Gee that his comments risk diminishing the collective efforts of the university and of Gee's own good work.
Baffling.
Divided. What? I mean, 95% think it was ludicrous, not 5% go, oh, well, it's just the way he is. Is that the division? I guess that's divided.